Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's tawfiq that He has given to us, this opportunity that the human being is able to conduct and implement good deeds due to the tawfiq that Allah ta'ala gives. The individual prays salah, we recite Quran, we do dhikr of Allah, we read voluntary nawafil prayer, we read tahajjud. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives tawfiq to the human being, he does good amal, good deeds. We do tasbihat, recite durood sharif, all good amal a person, an individual implements and carries out with the grace of Allah, with the blessings of Allah. A person does, just like we prayed salah in the house of Allah, we came to the house of Allah, and Allah ta'ala gave us His fadl, His blessings, that we have also been given a gathering, a halaqah of dhikr. Some brothers have stayed behind, sat down on the night of Jummah, and alhamdulillah, we've got the tawfiq to do the dhikr of Allah, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we do the good deeds that Allah ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to do, just like we've done now, then one thing, a person in his mind, he thinks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ajr, the rewards for these deeds. So in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with these deeds, due to these deeds, Allah ta'ala will inshallah give us ajr and reward. And through these deeds, Allah ta'ala will increase our darajat and give us rewards and status. To this extent, that all the amal that we do, we have in our mind that this will be the luggage for our hereafter. And nothing else. We practice deeds like we'll sit down now, we prayed salah, we came to the masjid, and we will continue as we are now. And after going, leaving, a person doesn't look back or reflect that the amal I just did, that can I see it's good or is it not good, or was it accepted or not accepted. I've just got yaqeen that I've done the amal, I've practiced it, and this amal is now secure, and Allah Ta'ala has sealed it, and in the akhirah I will get the ajr for it. This is what I think. Isn't it? This is our complex and our mentality. But when we will go to the akhirah, to the hereafter, at that time, we will not forget these deeds. These deeds that we've just done. Then the quality of these deeds, the power of these deeds, the status of these deeds, Allah Ta'ala has explained. That Allah Ta'ala says, if you do any deed, even if it's akin to an atom's weight or a dust, speck of dust, even that will have an effect. And Allah Ta'ala has given us encouragement on this basis, that don't worry, there's no value in this world for a speck of dust. No, you can't even see a speck of dust, isn't it? But Allah Ta'ala says that speck of dust will be included in your deeds in the hereafter, and it will be a treasure for you in the hereafter. So, look brothers, dharra, atom's weight, speck of dust. But this will be the condition of the deeds. But due to the fadl wala, we will have done big deeds, big ibadat and worship. And we will think we're guaranteed with that ibadat. And we will go to the hereafter. And when we will stand on the judgment, I'll think, where's my prayer? Where's my tahajjud? Where's my dhikr? Where's my tilawat of Quran? Where's my hajj? Where's my umrah? So this occurs. And there are hadith and subjects that explain to us, and the Quran has explained this and commentated on this, that when a person goes and he goes to the hereafter on the Day of Judgment, he'll be looking for his deeds, there'll be nothing there. He'll say, huh? Where's my prayer? I fasted. I used to worship in the night. Where's that all gone? The ibadat I did in the Ramadan, where's it gone? And he's looking on that Day of Judgment for his deeds, and he can't find anything. He can't realize his deeds. He will not see them. He'll not be able to identify those deeds. So this is something that we need to think about and pay attention to. And if this happens to me, all my lifelong earnings, 70, 80 years, Allah Ta'ala has given me tawfiq, I did amal, I practiced, but I'll see nothing there. Nothing maybe. And I'll be stood there, empty. Forget about dharra, speck of dust. There's no amal, no deeds. So this is something now I have to ponder about and worry about. May Allah Ta'ala give us the fikr for this. This is the main point. That it's not about coming here to talk, to sit in the majalis and the gathering and to speak, and for us to gather here. What's the reason for this? Is one, that in this temporary world that we have become lost, that we don't understand that how we can prepare for those moments in the hereafter. We don't have that feeling, we don't have that appreciation. We think about things for this dunya, but when we just think now, where have those people have gone? For example, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned that people will get their true rewards. There's us, there's me, there's you. What will we attain? What will we accrue? What will we get? So what is the protection for this issue? These words that have been mentioned in the hadith, that a person will go and he'll see nothing there. So how much attention have I paid? I've got to think about this now. No, I say, I'll have a think about it, or we'll see afterwards. No, brothers, this is Quran, verses of the Quran, hadith. Everything will come in front of us. Everything that's there from the hadith is elevated and great. How can we ignore this? How can we ignore this? Think, what guarantee do I have that I will not be that person, or I will not be that individual, or that woman, or that man who will be on that line, stood on the line of the Day of Judgment, who will not see the deeds? They will not be able to identify the deeds. What's the reason for this? Why will the amal disappear? Why will I not be able to see my deeds? What's the reason for this? We have to pay attention to this. And the reason is that we've done amal. We have practiced. We have done amal. But that deed that we implemented, we did not implement that deed based on the condition that is laid down for that deed. There's a condition for the acceptance of those deeds, and we didn't pay attention to that. The criteria. I prayed salah, but how will salah be accepted? What condition? I didn't think about that condition. There is a condition on every deed that we implement. There's a criteria for the acceptance of that deed. If I don't practice that deed on the criteria of acceptance, then it won't be accepted. I say, no, it's alright, I've done it. I know it's okay. Allah will accept it. It's fine. But no. I have to ask that I'm doing this action. What is the condition that Allah Ta'ala has laid down for the deeds to be accepted? What's the condition? Should we not think like this? It's very important. It's essential. We need to think. There are examples I can give to you. You go into a shop for shopping. What do you need to do shopping? You need fulus, money, notes, cash to buy. With the note you can buy something. But can you buy with every note? No. Can you buy products with every note? Yeah. Can you get every note and purchase with every category of note the products that you want? Will every note be accepted in every superstore in the world? Will you be able to buy and purchase? No, there's a condition. Isn't there no condition for that product that's been sold? That the currency should be compatible. It should be pure, the currency. It shouldn't be fake. It shouldn't be wrong. And it should be compatible with what's being sold in that shop. If I take a sack full of notes and those notes are fake, and I go to the till and say, I want a bread, he won't even give me a 1p sweet. Because I say, my sack is full of notes. He'll say, your sack is full of notes. Yes, I can see this money, but it's fraud. It's a fake. It's not genuine. And if we go in opposite to that, if you have £1 or even a 5p and it's genuine, alhamdulillah, you can buy a product with that 5p or that pound. So we'll take so many stacks of deeds. We're doing big ibadat, struggling, striving, making effort and sweating from morning till night. Whatever form it is, ibadat, worship, whatever form of deed it is, physical worship, our sack is full of those deeds. And we go to the hereafter, to the akhirah. Then Allah will say that there's a condition. Every deed has a condition. Have you fulfilled that condition? Has this deed been practiced according to that condition? If that condition is not fulfilled, then that deed will be thrown back to you and you will not be able to purchase anything on the Day of Judgment. Do you understand what I'm saying? So every deed has a condition. And it's important we understand that condition and fulfill that condition. Yeah? So what's the condition? Allah Ta'ala has laid down the condition for the acceptance of deeds, that when a person, how will his deeds be accepted? It will be that condition, that dharra, Allah Ta'ala said, that even if your deeds are similar to the dharra, the speck of dust, the atom's weight, when will you have the value? You'll have big sacks of notes, and you'll go and you can't buy, but the person with 5p will buy the sweets in the world. The same way there'll be people in the Day of Judgment with sacks of deeds, and the deeds won't be accepted. But the person who had an atom's weight of deed, he will earn on that Day of Judgment. Just the atom's weight, the speck of dust, will be more weighty and powerful than those people who have sacks and stacks of deeds, and he will earn, the person with the pennies, on the Day of Judgment. Because he'll have the condition to spend those pennies. Allah Ta'ala, not in one place, in many places, Allah Ta'ala is mentioned in the Quran, in the Ahadith, in various places. Allah Ta'ala, through the verse of the Quran, has mentioned this issue. To the Mukhlaseena Lahuddin. Allah Ta'ala says, Mukhlaseena Lahuddin. Yeah? Lahuddin. That deen, Islam, the success of deen, the pivot of the deen, what is the condition? Ikhlas, sincerity. Mukhlaseena lahuddin. Sincerity is essential. Ikhlas. Does the Quran not say this? Mukhlaseena lahuddin. What is deen? Salah, fasting, hajj, Quran, tabligh, propagation, spreading da'wah, dhikr, deen. All of this is deen, isn't it, that we do? All of the amal that we have. Practice on the sunnah is deen, dhikr is deen, doing dhikr is deen. Everything comes under the banner of deen, circle of deen. So there's a condition for the whole deen. Mukhlaseena lahuddin. Allah says if there's ikhlas, then your deeds are on a high state. If you have no ikhlas, you'll get zero upon zero for the deeds on the Day of Judgment. And we strive a lot here in the world. All the people in the dunya are trying that we want more deeds, higher quantity of deeds, more deeds in the sack. But we are not, quote, we are not concentrating on the true essence, that the salah that I've prayed, if only my salah is accepted on the condition that Allah Ta'ala has laid down. What is that condition? There should be ikhlas in my prayer. What is ikhlas? Khalis, pure, sincere. لا تعبدون إلا الله. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, لا تعبدون إلا الله. How do we say this? The Sufi, لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. This is what we're saying. لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله. To the heart, we are saying, empty the heart of the wasteful things. There's nothing, Allah. Everything is for you. Everything is for you. Everything is for you. إلا الله. Illallah. And we say this and we say this, and then a person gets success, that every action is then solely, sincerely, it fulfills the condition 100% and above. Allah Ta'ala will give the reward for that deed because he's done it with the Mukhlaseena al-Huddin. So this is the condition. This is the condition. For who should it be? Purely the salah should be for Allah. Fasting for Allah. Dhikr for Allah. Sijda for Allah. Whatever link you have with the deen. Whatever action there is that has the link with the deen. It should have be for what? There should be no other meaning for the action. No other reason for the action. لا تعبدون إلا الله. So there's no weakness in that intention. Otherwise whatever amal you do, whatever action you implement, whatever deed you implement, what I should do is that I should get reward for that. But how sad. Unfortunate that today we don't fulfill the condition for the acceptance of that deed. That deed then becomes a sin for me. That salah becomes a sin for me. That amal becomes a sin for me. That hajj, that zakat, it becomes a sin for me. And it's given a name, riya, pride. Yes, and it becomes similar to the shirk, to the shirk. That you haven't done this for me, Allah Ta'ala says, لا تعبدون إلا الله. You've done this for strangers, Allah Ta'ala says. Go run away. This salah, this action, these deeds of yours have no link with me, Allah Ta'ala says. And nafs and shaitan, in every way they try to steal from us. When they see that, oh, let's, you know, let him keep on praying and implementing those deeds, and it will look to you, it will feel to you that you've done big things, you've done big speeches and tafsir and commentary and wise and speeches and lectures and work of the deen, and then those deeds maybe not accepted. We think that's very high, I'm great, I'm very famous and popular. But what happens? What do those deeds do to us? They involve that person in shirk due to riya and pride and showing off and mixing those deeds and contaminating them, which end of when we stand in the court of Allah, then the purity will come and the contamination will come. Allah Ta'ala say it will be such a machine, you put the notes in, it will tell us, is this fake? Is it genuine? Is this fake? Is it genuine? And rather would be grab the other side, grab all of this person, don't let him run away. He was proud, he was a thief, he was a show off, he's committed sins, he wasn't pure and sincere. It was asked from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba Ikram asked, I will present a hadith to you to explain this. That they said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the Day of Judgment, Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, who will attain salvation and for what reason? What a beautiful question. On the Day of Judgment, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, najat, salvation, success will be attained for what reason, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It was stated, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, that the person who doesn't deceive Allah, he will attain salvation. Look at the words, the person who doesn't deceive Allah. The Sahaba Ikram said, Ya Rasulullah, what does it mean by deception? Deceiving Allah? How can a person deceive Allah? What does this mean? Then the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the person who implements Allah Ta'ala's orders for Allah's sake, that is amal. And the amal that is done for the people away from Allah, for ghayr, it is a fraud and it is a deception. If it's not done for Allah's sake, then it's fraud and deception. Look at these words, our ibadat, our salaul, our deeds and our worship. If we don't do it purely, solely for Allah, then we're deceiving Allah. We're trying to defraud Allah. We're trying to cheat Allah. How? Like, for example, a person, I have to go to somebody, I have a job, or I have some demand, or I have a favor I need. I said, how are you? I heard you were ill. Are you fine? How's the family? This and that, I've heard about you, this, that. You praise that person 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. You're not telling him what you want. Then at the end you say, oh, you know, I just had a little request from you. Can you do this for me? And this is deception, isn't it? You're not straightforward and open. You went round the houses. You met that person. You tried to butter him up, soften him up, and then you presented your request. So Allah Ta'ala says that don't try to deceive me in the same way. That when you commit the deeds and practice, what's your maqsad, objective? You want dunya, you want fame, you want to become popular, you want to be a personality, you want praise, you want people to say to you, wah, wah. You want your name to be spread, that you have knowledge, and you are this and that. You want people to praise you. And you want to be increased in your height amongst the people. In other words, the qualities Allah Ta'ala has given to you for deen, such good qualities. Tell me how shaitan destroys those qualities of person has. He doesn't think that what I will get in the akhirah. No, he wants people to praise him in the world. People to say, wah, wah, to him in the world. He wants to become famous in the world amongst the people. He wants praise from amongst the people. I am a pious, a knowledgeable. People say, ah, subhanallah, look how good this person is. Subhanallah. So brothers, this is a very delicate and fine line that a person treads. And he is the malik of all the good qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I've given him the qualities, good qualities and characteristics, good attributes and habits. Allah ta'ala says I've given him the mu'amalat and the deeds that can take him to success. But shaitan and nafs spoil the person. This is tazkiyah and tafsiyah, my brothers. This is tazkiyah. These are deep words. They may pinch and be bitter, but they are the luggage for the hereafter. Listen carefully. Understand the point that we work hard, we do ibadat and amal, and if Allah Ta'ala says on the day of judgment, run away, there's nothing with you. You have nothing in your account. So this is called ikhlas, sincerity. That for the sake of Allah, we should do all the actions. We should practice the deen for Allah. Every deed and breath and action should be for the sake of Allah. Is this within our lives? So now we accept this or not? But the person who understands this point, these words, and he understands, then he should do his tazkiyah. He should analyze himself and ponder and who will tell me, am I doing things right or wrong? Allah Ta'ala has made a good system that within myself automatically I can get the answer. The elders in Islam have done research. The walis of Allah and the people of the Khanqahs, they've struggled on this. They've made effort on this. And this is the point that we're coming to, that they present the solutions to get rid of the diseases and the problems. Because they go towards the ruh, the spirit, the basis, the foundation, the root cause of the problem. Because ibadah will be the basis of success. The elders say, let it be less, but let it be pure and acceptable. Allah Ta'ala says, just bring to me an atom's weight of a good deed with sincerity, but make sure that atom's weight should be for me, solely for me and nobody else. Allah says, don't mix someone strange into it. Allah Ta'ala says, don't be seeking praise. Don't be looking left and right for recognition. Don't have the intention to earn dunya or to become famous. It shouldn't be in your mind any other thought than when you're doing the amal of the deen for the akhirah. You shouldn't have no intention to attain something away from Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. This is a big point, a big point. The sweat comes out of the forehead of a person if he thinks about Qiyamah hereafter and the Day of Judgment. This hadith that don't deceive Allah, don't deceive Allah. So do a little bit of ibadah, less worship, but make it pure rather than doing mass quantity and you don't do it for Allah's sake. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we try to deceive Allah. Even in tazkiyah and tafsiyah, in cleaning ourselves, we try to deceive Allah. We say, this is our sheikh, he's our peer, our guide, and we'll hear him and follow his instructions. But I'll say there will be maybe close to 0% who goes with this ikhlas, that most definitely I'm going for the sake of Allah to this person, for the sake of Allah I've kept the link with him, for the sake of Allah I want his connection. I tell you, if a person has this intention when he goes to that company, then in the khanqahs, a person cannot leave the khanqah as a lost person. It's not in the history of mankind that a person goes to the khanqah with ikhlas and he leaves empty handed, without the benefit. But there in the khanqah we have dunya, world, material gain and fame. My brothers, so this is the point I'm saying today, it's very dangerous. So how do we analyze? Look, there are two signs that the pious predecessors have told us, two signs. Nafs, our desires will never allow us to accept our mistakes. You know, if someone says to you, oh look, you got these defects, I will never listen to that person. I don't want to hear from them. No, look how many people are following me, 1,500 people, 1,500 followers I've got, and you're telling me I've got a defect? Look here, all these people, my students, they're saying to me I'm correct and I'm good and I'm pious, and you're telling me I've got an error? A defect? So there are two signs here if a person pays attention. I should pay attention, you should pay attention. Yes, because that's why we're discussing this in this gathering, because this is my gathering, alhamdulillah, mashallah. The dhikr of Allah, you are mine and I'm yours, alhamdulillah. And this is all the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah, the blessings of Allah. There's no stranger here, that's why I'm speaking openly. We are all for each other, we all love each other, we are all here for the pain for each other. I'm here for this reason, that Allah Ta'ala corrects me and makes me pure and a good human being. And you've come for the same reason, so let's help each other, assist each other. We're friends, isn't it? We've got the same common factor. So the situation is this, that there are two signs, very good. One is this, that the elders in Islam have stated that the amal that we should do, the practice, good deeds, good practice, you know what is the deed that can give us goodness? What's the criteria of good deeds? That if you do a good deed, try to make hide it so much, just like you try to hide your sins. What a beautiful point the pious Peter says. So when you do a good deed, a worthy deed, hide your deeds. Whatever deed you're doing, whether you're out in the public or in your own, in the masjid, it's a good deed, isn't it? But try to make it hidden and secluded. Just like you hide your sins and you try to conceal your sins, conceal your good deeds as well. And this feeling should be inside me. If I have this feeling that I want to conceal my good qualities, then understand this person's got ikhlas and sincerity. And if you don't have this feeling, oh, just let people see me worshipping, let people realize what I am, the knowledge of God, or let people realize and appreciate my heights. And what's he trying to tell people? He wants to tell people, isn't it? Ah, so then understand, you're wasting your time. You're trying to show off. You'll go from the right to the left. So wake up. So there's one sign, which is this, that conceal your deeds. So this is one attribute of a good person. Just like you try to hide your sins, conceal the good deeds as well. Conceal the good deeds and don't try to show that to people. And people shouldn't realize that you've done the pious and worthy deeds. That's what you should try to do. That no one should realize. Try to do in hiding. There was a pious predecessor. The pious predecessor will give us this point number one. And point number two, which is very great, where you realize a person's degree of humanity, that when he does an amal, and a deed, a worship for the sake of Allah, any amal of the deen, any practice for the deen, any worship of the deen, any deed of the deen, then whether it is someone's praising or putting him down, he doesn't realize what's happening at that time. He is happy if someone says bad of him, and he will be smiling in his heart that there's no effect to me on this. Subhanallah. Doesn't matter if someone's praising him or ridiculing him. When he has this maqam, then the good news is given that this person is a mukhlis. Mukhlisina lahu ad-deen. Beautiful point. Someone's praising you. Oh, you're going to come, Peer Saab, Sheikh Saab, Scholar Saab, mashallah, he's pious. This is going to happen. And he doesn't know. He's looking around back there. Who's being praised there? Who's being introduced there? I don't know. I don't think it's me. Yeah? And then he realizes after it's him that they're talking about. But he's independent. He becomes his quality, his attribute. He's not purposely doing this. The world is here. The people are here like this, alhamdulillah. And these are the walis of Allah. The walis of Allah. They don't have horns on their head. These are the walis of Allah. They don't look for piety and recognition. Yeah? Very great wali of Allah who did tafsir of the Quran. Very famous tafsir. Famous commentary of the Quran. In one gathering I was in, one majlis, until today, that you cannot forget these examples, brothers. Look at ikhlas, sincerity. Even today, I remember that individual. In this majlis, we spoke about ikhlas. Then that name of that Hazrat has come into my heart because of ikhlas. This is ikhlas. SubhanAllah. The person who's sincere and pure, he doesn't need fame. Here, Allah Ta'ala allows their fragrance to spread and emanate from Maghrib to Mashriq, from Shamal to Junub, West to East, North to South. Fragrance, smell spreads. He doesn't know, is this my fragrance? Whose fragrance is? They say, Hazrat, this is from you, the smell has come. That beautiful fragrance has come. SubhanAllah. So they're not dependent on anyone. If Allah Ta'ala has accepted somebody, then he doesn't depend on anyone. Nor does praise affect him, nor does ridicule affect him. Both things are there. Totally equal difference isn't made to that person. He doesn't seek a praise. Oh, mashallah, I'm successful today. And if he's ridiculed, or if he sits down and starts to cry, or I've lost this, he's linked with lillahi. That everything I'm doing is for the sake of Allah, so I have no worry for anything that I gain or lose. I'm not worried about dunya, I'm worried about Rabb Allah, you accept, and everything is we'll look at afterwards. Allah, you accept my ibadat. Allah, accept my prostration. Allah, accept my dhikr. Allah, accept my tilawat of Quran. Allah, accept my bayan. Allah, accept my words. Allah, whoever I am there, whoever is there in front of me, Allah Ta'ala, you accept from me, and I'm not concerned about who is in front of me. How much do I count? 1, 2, 3, 4 people have come. This man didn't come. He was a good person. He's not come. Today the gathering has increased or decreased. Is it very high, the quantity? They have no link with these things. Allah Ta'ala says, when you had a little bit, then it was for the sake of Allah. When you had more, that was for the sake of Allah. And this is called ikhlas. Sincerity. So that Hazrat, mashallah, he was a great personality. Great personality, that 8 volumes tafsir he has, and the gathering was prepared and he was called. I'm speaking about a country, and he was invited there. And then I sat down, I came to the gathering, I sat down. When the gathering is formed, then I went and sat down. And then everyone is waiting that the guest will come, the guest will come. He was a great personality. And he was spiritual, mashallah. He had spiritual effect, and everyone's looking towards the door. And before that, people looking around, seeking him, I saw a weak person, slim and simple life according to Sharia and Sunnah, physically came with ease, slowly entered into the door, came to the side, prayed nafil, and then he sat down with ease, simply. Just a little distance from me. We were waiting. Hazrat hasn't come in yet. Where's Hazrat? They said, Hazrat's here. He's sitting down. And he's going to come forward. They said, Hazrat, people are waiting for you. Okay. So nobody called me. He said, I was just sitting down. Somebody was going to call me maybe. So he went and sat down at the front. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. And this is what you call ikhlas. That individual came in, didn't seek fame, recognition. And we come in, why didn't you seat me at the front? Why didn't you introduce me? Why didn't you call my name? Why did you put this to the back, etc.? This is what we look at, isn't it? That if a person comes to the gathering, that, oh, I had a higher grade than him, you should have put me closer to the front. Why did you put him to the right? How did I come to the left of this person? That here, the words are weighed, isn't it, in the world today? Today, in the generation, the words are weighed, and upon words, we consider a person to be high or to be low. Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala says, وَتُعِزُّ مَن تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَن تَشَاءُ. Allah Ta'ala says, this is my guidance and my recognition and judgment. If I want to reduce somebody's izzah and respect, it's up to me. It's my choice, Allah Ta'ala says. So this is ikhlas and sincerity. So brothers, the dunya around us is a game, but the true life is to come. A very great life is to come, and the reality will be weighed. So there are two signs we have to look at ourselves, inside ourselves. That number one, when I do deeds, am I doing them to show people, to explain to people, to show to people, oh, is this deed okay, what I've done? No. Make it concealed and hidden that nobody realizes that you're doing apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Beautiful example is given, Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayh, great faqih, great jurisprudent. He said, if you want to learn ikhlas, what a beautiful point here. He said, if you want to learn ikhlas, then, subhanallah, then you can learn it from the shepherd. The shepherd, because to herd the goats is the sunnah, is a very spiritual action. The Sufi sheikhs have done this. And mashallah, the goat is very innocent. Why? SubhanAllah, look at the link. Where does the link of the goat go back to? Back to the heights. Rasulullah ﷺ loved the goat and used to drink the milk of the goat. And the goat is a very innocent animal, soft and tender. So, what is stated here is that the person who prays Salah in front of the goats in the jungle, and he doesn't even think that the goats are going to praise him. Such a prayer you should pray,
that whenever you do a deed, conceal it and consider everyone around you are like the goats and you're not seeking the praise of the goats. They're not going to praise you. The goats, I'm doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. And he doesn't even have a hint that someone's going to call out, praise me, recognize me, glorify me. No, he sees everyone around him as the goats. And then your salah and your deeds will become full of sincerity. Alhamdulillah. And Allah Ta'ala says that I will totally accept, and there will be the signs of acceptance in your deeds in my court. So brothers, this is not a bayan, not a speech. I'm not worthy of this. So this ajiz, simple person is in front of you. So these points came to my mind for this reason, that we should have fikr and we should worry about this. May it not be that tomorrow we are wearing this libas of the sunnah and some other meaning comes out of it. Or people say, wah, wah, look at this person, he's got imama, he's got libas. Oh, he's come, he's an ashik, a lover of Rasulullah. Stop there at that time. That after this, when people say, mashallah, you follow the sunnah, and they start praising you. Are they praising you to please you or to make you feel that you're not good enough? So the person shouldn't worry about the praise or the ridicule. Shouldn't feel good. You should have this condition that the person who's praising you, you're not enjoying yourself. When you hear that, you say, I don't know what this person's saying. What does he mean? What is he trying to explain to me? What's this person saying? I don't understand his praise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a total release from it. That Allah ta'ala is Rahim and He is Kareem. And Rasulullah is Rahmatullil Alameen. That Allah ta'ala says, you don't need to run after the big amal. If you can't do the big deeds, but at least do the small deeds with ikhlas. Have sincerity in them. It's not necessary that you have to be a great speaker and I don't know how to speak. What shall I do? Shall I not speak to anyone? Or shall I not give nasiyah to somebody? Shall I not advise to someone if I can't have words or can't speak? Or I don't know how to present things in a beautiful, eloquent way? Don't worry. What does Allah Ta'ala like? Even if your tongue is broken down and it's not eloquent, Allah says, just communicate with the people and I will accept if they're sincere. So the objective is to distribute to the people. So if you got the desire, you want to do tabligh, you want to give dawah, then don't fear. Don't fear that I don't know anything. How am I going to speak? How can I communicate with people? Stand up, say the name of Allah. That am I doing this for the dunya? I'm doing it for Allah's sake. Allah will put the weight on my tongue and I will say that and see how the effect takes place. See how the effect takes place. So Allah's message is not dependent on any external power, my brothers. Nothing. No energy. Allah Ta'ala. So if you've got the quality, you've got the ability to speak, you have the ilm, you have the knowledge, and you have the capacity, and you have the quality total, you have the energy and the confidence and the talawat, and on top of that, alhamdulillah, you have ikhlas, then you have nur ala nur upon nur. And that is totally full of light, that person. Allah has given both things to him. The ability to speak, communicate, and he's got the capacity and the capability. So we have to have fikr, and worry that we're still alive. The previous days and months or years have been wasted, but make niyyah from today that Allah, I want to ikhlas. I want you to be sincere. Whichever salah I pray, whichever dhikr I do, whatever action I do amal on the sunnah. Whatever I do, just stop for a minute and make this a habit. Stop there before you start the deed. Now, who am I doing this for? Why am I doing this deed? For the sake of Allah solely? 100% nothing else? Why am I going to my Shaykh Hazrat, to his company? For the sake of Allah, I'm going. I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will do dhikr and I will reform, improve myself. So upon this point, مُخْلَسِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. The Quran tells us that the whole deen, whatever there is, the whole deen of Islam, everything hinges on what? Is sealed in what? Concealed in what? Ikhlas. If there's no ikhlas, the whole deen is wasted and that becomes shirk. And this point, to understand this, the people who struggled and strive, all their lives they spent their time, remember this point, the khanqas that run, dhikr and adhkar that is running, upon which they struggle and striving all life long, people have tried and struggled. When they sat down, subhanallah, after Isha, they used to sit down and do dhikr of Allah. Then until Fajr, their dhikr used to continue and they used to do the ismizad, the dhikr of Allah, because they didn't want the distance between them and Allah. In my heart, I don't want the gap between me and Allah, between me and Allah, myself and Allah. And I want to do everything with ikhlas. My brothers, can you attain anything in the world without making effort? Tell me. From today, morning till evening, you've come here. Is there anything that you've attained at home just by sitting cross-legged? No. Even to drink water, you have to get up, go, open the tap, put the glass underneath, fill up the glass, then you have to drink. You have to make effort, isn't it? There's nothing in the world that you don't have to make effort to attain. And to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness, do you think we don't have to make effort? The biggest point is, to attain these things, we have to strive and struggle and make effort. You can't get anything but just by sitting at home cross-legged. If we have got yaqeen, there's qiyamah. Day of judgment, there'll be accounting for the deeds, and every deed will be weighed on the scales of sincerity. Then foolish is that person who doesn't strive to get sincerity in his life. Foolish and stupid is that person, and he is the worst person who still doesn't try to bring ikhlas into his life. And there's only one way: go towards the khanqas, the walis of Allah, make a connection with them, and have a link with the friend of Allah. Otherwise, that individual will not have sincerity. He's not sincere, and no way can he have sincerity. Not even one footstep is sincere. That he doesn't want to move and use his energy to go to the wali of Allah to explain and to learn, because he has taqabbur, another pride in his heart. He's walking around big-headed. He thinks that there's no one better than me or similar to me in the whole world. And this is Fir'auniyat. This is the quality of Fir'aun. Then bow your head, bow your heart, and have ajizi and ijs, have humility, and all of these qualities and characteristics are learned from the khankas. In the khanka, there's mujahidat, that when a person is earning, he wants to kill off his takabbur, his pride, and the walis of Allah have that capacity that they can teach another person to remove the spiritual diseases. We can't say, I ain't got time, I don't know what I should do. We've got time today, and we waste all of our ibadat, which is full of takabbur and pride. Or a person goes to a majlis and does dhikr, and he thinks that this is a joke. It's okay, I just go for dhikr in the morning and in the evening. Think of the objective. Am I improving myself? Am I doing my islah? Am I rectifying myself? Am I getting as a better person? Is that feeling coming to me? Have I become a better human being? That reason that you've come for, have you weighed yourself on that? 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, I'm going there. Have those qualities come into me? Has this condition been born into me? Have I got ikhlas? Has lillahiyat come into my heart? Do I think lillah, lillah, lillah? Or is it just dhikr I'm doing? Dhikr is a cure. Dhikr is a cure. And for doing this cure, Allah gives a reward that you are curing, so I give you a bonus. Allah Ta'ala says, I give you a bonus. But giving a bonus doesn't mean that the cure that we're taking, that is the cure taking place. I have to ask my question. Is it taking place? So my brothers, you are dhakireen, you do dhikr, alhamdulillah, you do dhikr, that's good. But we need to pay attention to islah, me and you, that the objective of our islah, that I go to a pious person, a wali of Allah, so that all our defects come out, the gabbar comes out, bad deeds come out, sins come out, and ikhlas, which is the hinge for all success, the pivot, may we have success. If someone says, oh, mashallah, you're a Naqshbandi, you're a peer, you're a sheikh, you say, what are you talking about, brother? This is not the case. You just have it like you don't even know. But you can only have this when the condition, your heart is like this. When your heart is made, it cannot come from words. Empty words. You have to make your heart. You have to teach your heart. La. Teach your heart. La. The sabak. And if you don't bring your heart towards la, then how will the illnesses come out? You have to bring your heart to that same level of la. There's no God illallah except Allah, for the sake of Allah. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Brothers, this is a very dangerous scenario with regards to Akhira, but we're live, but maybe we'll have to go tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, tomorrow morning. Today make niyyah. Allah Ta'ala say, okay, forgive this person. He embarked on my journey, on my path. Just 1 hour before his death, he learnt what was wrong before, and he did tawbah. Allah Ta'ala says, wipe away all his sins and transform them to good deeds. We are waiting for the fadl of Allah, so we have to make effort, brothers. So do tazkiyah, keep analyzing and reflecting and pondering on yourself. What dhikr I've been to Hazrat or wherever I've been to, that am I benefiting? Or sometimes it happens that people, the takabbur increases in their hearts, pride increases in their hearts, they're not paying attention to the good. Rather they go down, they go up higher with the pride, I'm pious, I do practice on this sunnah, there's no one comparable to me, these are foolish people running around, my salah is the best, they don't pray, I'm a good person, I wear sunnah libas, sunnah attire. That person's then a dangerous thinking person. He's thinking in a dangerous way. He's even more dangerous. Madhab, deen, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. When a person is elevated, his status goes high. You know when you go in a plane and the plane takes off, it slowly ascends to the height and everything starts to become small for you on the earth. Little buildings and etc. So this is the station with a man, that when he starts to become higher in tasawwuf and spiritually, then he considers himself to be small and all of the capacity within him. Yes, he thinks that I have nothing within me. all of the deeds, despite these deeds, I can't recite Quran, I can't do dhikr, I don't know how to recite, my sajda is not accepted, my prostration is accepted. So when we go higher, higher up in the plane, and we see smaller, smaller buildings down there. So when a person's elevated spiritually, then he sees and considers all his deeds as minute and small. And if he thinks they're big, and he says, oh, I'm very big, I'm high, I should be praised, and place should be left for me, my shoes should be picked up, door should be open for me, I should be praised and elevated. And when you do these actions, the people think that I request, I swear, I put my hands together, I request again, I swear by Allah, I'm sitting on the prayer mat in Allah's home with the pious people around me. For the sake of Allah, I say, please, I totally dislike these actions. Please understand what I'm saying. I totally dislike this. I don't like even akin to the speck of dust people stand for me, or shake my hands, or kiss my hands, or put the shoes down for me. This is rubbish. This is not good. I don't like these actions where people try to say, I'm not saying this is jais or not jais, or permissible or not permissible. The elders in Islam, they know this, what is permissible or not. I'm not saying this. But everyone has his, you can say, his emotion and his likings and dislikes. And my emotion doesn't like this. So if we have this fikr, may Allah Ta'ala forgive all of us and maybe be successful. And everything then is successful after that, if we have this niyyah. So I'm requesting that we need to have humility in our life. We need to be humble and be sincere and make the heart like this, not the tongue. Our heart should say, what is this makeup stuff and pride and showing off? What is this? I'm nothing. What praise is this? I'm totally inside. I'm empty like a box. No khawf. Nothing. So where he says, no, your prayer is good. You're pious. You're close to Allah. You're forgiven. And your maqam is high. And Jibreel Islam is about to come. And revelation will come unto you. But then that will destroy us. This dhikr is not good then, if you're seeking fame and personality and you want to be known. Then Hazrat said that your dhikr is not correct. You need to do more effort, make more effort on your dhikr. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, because this majlis is for tafsiyah and tazkiyah, purity. That's why I'm speaking to this majlis. I'm not capable to sit in front of you, good pious brothers, that I can speak from myself and explain things. But for this reason, I do this, that mashallah, you come and I sit down also. So if we don't make mistakes, or don't accept our mistakes, or share our mistakes, how will we rectify them? Otherwise, this is not my intention, that I am the best and I've got the best qualities and I'm telling you this. Astaghfirullah. People say, I say this, but I'm not worthy of this. Never. But if somebody comes, then I speak some words, my pain and distress, then I share that and communicate that, so I can be corrected and you can be corrected. And if you see that you have total permission, I say this to my friends, if you see I'm doing something wrong, tell me straight away, Hazrat, you're doing something against Sharia. This is mamnu. Alhamdulillah, I'll be very grateful to you that you've explained this to me. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's no issue with that. So I see you and I explain to you, and you will see me explain to me. So this is the objective, that when we live this world, then Allah Ta'ala gives us the maqam. Allah Ta'ala says, without reckoning, you will go into paradise. Without reckoning, recite the Durood Sharif.